The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
I'm having this new hand massage device, the Queen Ear. Absolutely wonderful. It is a very strong hand massage. It's not for everyone. Even the lowest intensity, I'm sure you can break an old people's hands with this. But this is fucking amazing. For those of you who, if your hands tingle, because my hands tingle sometimes and I feel that I don't get enough blood circulation, especially when I sleep, I tend to sleep like this, and that crushes my hand and it blocks the blood flow into my hand. And the fact that I've been spending so much time doing piano when I was young, private piano lessons, high-level piano to an extent, I mean, as a young man, and then so much coding, so much computer. I've spent so many hours just playing computers and coding. My hands are absolutely as exercised and as used as human hands can be. And I even got out of a wrist, you know, the wrist issue, I don't remember, there's a term for it, but the wrist issue that gamers develop where they have a nerve that's inflamed. I waited for the surgery, never came because it was in Canada. I subscribed to the queue. I ended up healing my wrist without the surgery. Carpal tunnel, that's the term. So ended up healing my carpal tunnel just out of per waiting. And now I feel that my hands, they have been too rough to them. This is absolutely awesome. There are some models of this that are available for $60. This one is a little higher price, maybe $110 US, $150 Canadian. And it inflates air pockets and it really compresses your hand super strong, and then it releases it. Extremely satisfied by the performance of this thing. It works both on the left and right hand. Rocky Robin Hood says, I do the same when I sleep, JF. Well, if you wake up with tingling hands, you do need something like this. Do buy it, because let me tell you, this is my first night with just this 15 minutes. When I wake up during the night, 15 minutes of this. Just before I sleep, 15 minutes of this, and bro, my hands feel so powerful. I feel that I could code for 40 more years now. I feel my hands feel alive again, and it's really great, really great. If you value your hands in any way, and if you've been rough to your hands in life, do consider this. They make this kind of thing. It's called air compression therapy. They make it for legs. They make it for feet. But I've never had problems with other parts of my body. It's always been the hands. And Nicolas Petrus told me that my voice level was too low. So hopefully my little fixes that I've done will be making me higher In the normalized sound, Blimpy Supervisor says, sometimes it's best not to get in soon and you find a better solution. When I severed my finger tendon, I was about to get a 15K surgery, but because I had cream in my coffee that morning, they wouldn't do surgery. So I said, forget it, and it doesn't really matter that my finger can't retract all the way. Saved a lot of money. Oh yeah, definitely. There are sometimes... sometimes the medical intervention is not the right way. I went to Walmart and I bought some of my favorite flavor of Monster Inc. I've not been drinking Monster Inc. regularly, but this is very good. Ultra Fantasy Ruby Red. Extremely good. Extremely sour. I love it. Buto says... now we need weekly group strength updates to see how good it works. I'm not going to train my grip strength. I'm not a gym guy. This is not for gym stuff. It's for comfort and good life and good work. So that is the goal. YouTube is rolling out AI in the US to detect if users are actually under 18. It ignores the stated age and applies restrictions to users it suspects are teens. Wow. This is the beginning of something very dark. It starts with, oh, it's for the children. It's for the good of the children. The UK guy said the same thing. He said, oh, no, we're not doing censorship. It's just for extreme stuff. Extreme stuff for the children. And it never stays there. The AI is expensive, and the politicians' pressure on these companies is expensive, and it always ends up reaching some leftist persecution of the right. Frog Eyes says, apparently the G in JFG stands for Guy Slap. Why? Because I drink Monster Inc. Monster Inc. is good. It's a pricey drink, though. You know, it's kind of nonsense that it's a drink like Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and you pay 3-4 times the price. But at the same time, I mean, they fill this with all these vitamins, and I guess that's what leads to all these boosters, and that's probably what leads to the price. Ruth Sternwood says, I use my dick to massage my hands. Well, you have to stop this. You have to find a girlfriend to inseminate. Someone was asking, DDAF, could you at some point comment on Michael Levin's work? I believe you may have been asking me about this many years ago. And Michael Levin, I don't know much about him. But he sends this video. We can watch this little section here. And see what he has to say. I don't know. My first take, having watched this video you just sent, is that this is a man interested in technical laboratory things. It can be good to have this information, but I have a big discount on laboratory creations because he's making chimeric embryos. So he's taking cells from a salamander, mixing them with cells from a frog, making a chimeric embryo and see what will develop. The thing, when you do this kind of stuff, you do something that's totally out of nature. So you're not really learning about the rules of nature. You're learning about the rules of a game you just created in the lab. And you won't find a natural rule, a law of biology doing this. Because it tells you nothing about the real world, the natural world. It tells you about, okay, you created this artificial situation. The cells are probably going to fight for their conception of what the embryo should be. Some cells want the embryo to look like a frog. Some cells want it to look like a salamander. They're gonna enter all sorts of conflicts. They're going to be using signaling pathways. Some of these signaling pathways will deceive them into going there or there. And you're going to have a mix of things that's disorganized and that hasn't evolved for this. So let's listen a little bit
The first thing I want to say is that biology kind of presents currently, and it has for a long time, presents a face to the outside world of the dominance of genetics. And the idea is that the molecular biology of the genome should really tell us everything we need to know. And the promise is, of course, that once we really tame the genetic information, we'll be able to do whatever we need to do. So I just want to explain how things are actually, I think, quite different. So this is a baby axolotl, and axolotls are amphibians that have little tiny forelegs in this early stage. This is a tadpole of the frog, Xenopus laevis, which we use all the time. They do not have legs in the early stages. In my group, we make something called a frogolotl, where we basically combine cells from axolotls and frogs. And now I could pose the following question. You've got the axolotl genome. It's been sequenced. We know we can read it. It's been annotated. We have the frog genome. We know all the genetic information from this species. Simple question. If I make a frogolotl, are frogolotls going to have legs or not? And if they do have legs, are those legs going to be made of just frogolotl cells, or in fact, will they incorporate some Xenopus laevis cells? So the important thing to note is that we currently have absolutely no way of deriving that kind of information from the genetics. While the genetics specify the hardware that all of these creatures get, that all of the cells in these creatures get to have, so all the protein level, nano level hardware, what they don't tell you is the actual software which drives outcomes. In other words, the computation and the decision making that happens at different scales once that hardware is powered up. So we have to understand right now that knowing the specifications of the hardware, for example, in terms of the genetics, is not sufficient. Then you find out that actually these forms, while they're pretty reliable by default, you get these kinds of complex forms. There's actually incredible plasticity that's there. So here's a tadpole of that same frog. Here is the
So we know that, I mean, we know the story. We've heard it in many ways. They've done this on mosquitoes before they did on flies before they did on axolotl, an eye growing on some other part of the body. I have a discount for this kind of scientific work. It's not that I'm saying it's useless. Obviously, he's experimenting on things that maybe will inform us downstream from the genome, what are the kind of decisions and roads down, you know, forks down the road taken by genetics to form the body. But you've created fundamentally an artificial situation. And it's not the most isolated. It's not like when you knock down a gene and you look at embryonic development, you can know exactly the gene you knocked down has specifically disrupted this process of embryogenesis. When you start making mixes like this, all of the genes of the frogs plus all of the genes of the salamander just mixed up in a bunch of cells, then there's going to be all sorts of uncontrollable aspects to your experiment. One of them being, where did the 8 cells of the frog end up? If they ended up in the more tail region, they will receive molecular signals saying you are the tail, and you're going to have a frog tail. And if they're more in the top region, they're going to receive the molecular signals saying you are the head. And they're going to try becoming a frog head. And as they try, they will send their own signals, and some of them will be coherent because some of them will be the exact same in salamanders and in frogs. Because evolutionarily, they're close enough that they will share the same molecule for signaling what is a belly, what is a tail, what is an head, what is an eye. But then you're going to have these different genomes responding to these orders, these mixed up orders between develop a frog eyes and develop a salamander eye. So it's... Of course, the principle of science sometimes is to disrupt nature, but you have to be energetically economical and entropically economical in the way you destroy mechanism of nature to learn anything from it. I would say it's a little bit the difference between, let's say, you have optogenetics and you are knocking down this one gene in the mice, you're doing so with a laser, and you're doing so at a precise place of the mice embryo, and you're doing so at a precise moment of embryonic development. Now, that's precise science. It will tell you, without this gene, what does a mice look like? And maybe it's going to miss the belly. Maybe it's not going to have a spinal cord. Maybe it's not going to have one of the limbs. But if you take a hammer and you smash the embryo, you're going to get embryo juice. And is that science? Is that science? And I would compare the chimeric experiment as kind of a hammer level experiment. It's not subtle enough that it gives you specific knowledge of anything. You've just created a world of questions, really. And it's a world of questions in the artifice, in the artificial environment of the lab. So, of course, I'm a different scientist. Of course, this is the kind of science you go in any university, you're going to see a lot of that. I'm such an extremist and a radical. You have no idea. I am extremely sensitive to how far is your question from actual reality. And I am not that interested in laboratory outcomes, because let me tell you, biology is so complex and there are so many genes and so many species of animals that there is an infinite amount of questions that you could ask that are not interesting. So he's doing axolotl mixed with frogs. But what about monkeys mixed with frogs? What about dinosaurs mixed with birds? What about human babies farmed onto mice asses? What about it? It's like the number of combinations of questions you can ask. And then if you knew everything about all this, what would you know, really? What would you know? You'd know nothing. You would know just that there's this series of bizarre paths that life didn't take. Wow. Now, I'm not saying this to dunk on the guy. I don't know Michael Levin, and you've talked to me about him in very positive ways across the years. I'm sure he's a good molecular biologist, and I'm sure he's fascinated about this stuff. But I'm so much more fascinated about how do we characterize the world that exists in front of us? That world is so interesting. Like, how do we even begin to understand what goes on in a kitchen with a human mother and her human babies, and she loves them, and she teaches them stuff, and she cooks for them? How do we even begin that? Now, so that's why these experiments seem so far remote from actual ecology, that it's like, what do we learn? What do we know more when we do that kind of stuff? I don't think we learn that much. Blimpy Supervisor says he axolotl a lot of questions. Oh, wow. Basic pun humor, but this one had me laugh for some reason. Maybe I'm softening, because that should not be a funny joke. That should not be funny, but I find it funny. Arkansas Attorney General finds nothing illegal in the whites only community return to the land. Absolutely great news. So, I mean, this doesn't mean that everything they will forever do is always legal, but it means that on the face of things, it doesn't seem in very obvious ways that laws were broken. And so this is a very important moment. We're just talking about 40 white people living on some land where they appear to be just building makeshift houses for themselves and shacks of all kind. I would love to participate as a plumber. If I can make it into the U.S. at some point, and if Arval needs plumbing services. My father was in charge of the municipality water. I could I could think of an entire sewer system for this community. I don't know where they're at with this. Do they have utilities and services? I could plug... I could bring Plex... Plex... Pex. I could bring Plex... Pex tubes to all of these houses and give them flowing water for everyone. Poca Pilot says, Jeff, what do you think about bisexuals and feminine men who are into women? Don't they disprove the idea that gay slash effeminate behavior will select itself out of the gene pool? Well, I have always said, that we don't need necessarily an evolutionary explanation for homosexuality, because we haven't known a long-term period of human society in which homosexuality was punished with absence of babies. So we don't need the uncle theory of homosexuality. We don't even need the sexual dichotomy theory of the genes trying to make you act feminine because they don't know that they're in a man. We don't need any of this. For homosexuality, all we need to say is homosexuality has not been punished enough in the last few hundred years. And why is that? Because it was socially oppressed enough that it wasn't a thing, really. And to whoever was into these bizarre things, they also had access to females. And in the absence of condoms and birth pill, they ended up probably having babies, too. Even the priests of the Catholic Church probably were having children with these widows, you know. Ah, a widow. Come and see Mr. Priest. We will see how you're doing. We will care for you. And we will inseminate. So homosexuality has been only punitive very recently. It's really the movement of the 60s and 70s that has pushed for a kind of monogamous marriage vision of homosexuality, which never came to be, actually, because the gay community remains a very sexually depraved, not family-oriented community. So it really is, it's such an exception, the idea of, oh, I'm going to marry a man and live the rest of my life with this man. It's such an exception, and these homosexuals, they live such messed up lives that they end up also inseminating females. So the push for gay monogamy really didn't take root, didn't work. And so we don't even know if there's a selection pressure against homosexuality right now. Because who knows how much of these deals they get in to inseminate in some indirect form. Maybe they live as gay for 10, 15 years, and then they have a little story with a girlfriend. It doesn't take much for nature to do its thing. Now, if homosexuality was to be sustained in a regularly and continuously monogamous way for a long time, then we would need a theory of homosexuality, and then we could have all sorts of explanations, but we don't know them. We don't know that we're there. Marby Dog says, Pex is much easier than copper, but the tools are too expensive. Are you kidding me? No, you can do Pex with a scissor to cut the Pex, an attachment, a presser for the rings, $100 maybe. By the way, these days, the copper is also subject to non-soldering. They now have these copper pipes that are like the PEX. You have a device that you come around and it compresses the copper pipe in place with a rubber insulator. And so at this point, copper is solderless. That is the new technology. So yeah. We have another ad in the line of Sydney Sweeney. Another ad featuring by mainstream companies talking about genetics. Are you tired of winning yet?
Look, I didn't ask to be the king of summer. It just kind of happened. This tan? Genetics. I just got my color analysis back. Guess what? Golden summer. Literally. I can't help it. Every time I drink a Dunkin' Golden Hour Refresher, it's like the sun just finds me. So if sipping these refreshers makes me the king of summer, guilty as charged. The Golden Hour Refresher. Only at Dunkin'.
They didn't lose time. How is it that, like, 48 hours after the ad, after the Sydney Sweeney ad talking about genetics, we now have Dunkin' Donuts? Fucking Dunkin' Donuts is talking about genetics. You see this, Dan? Genetics. Of course, they use all sorts of tactics here not to be accused of Nazism. So I would say that this ad goes less strong than Sydney Sweeney, but they went so fast in releasing it that you have to think that probably they saw the Sydney Sweeney offense wave and they thought this is the best place to enter in the market. We're going to get the continuation of this wave, and anyways, we have a softer ad because ultimately they're taking a guy that has Mediterranean features, so wouldn't qualify fully as a Nazi, might be rejected in the purest form of a Nazi party. He's more like a Greek statue, you know, these Greek Mediterranean features with curly hair. I think he's Italian and he's an actor in some teleseries for young people. I don't know much about him. But he does say, you know, my tan is genetics, and I've just had the result of my skin tone analysis, and it's golden summer. It's kind of humble bragging, kind of fakery. Like, who is so self-obsessed that they would have an analysis of skin tone? It's kind of narcissistic. But I think it's the idea of these ads, the kind of over-the-top, I am desirable and I don't give a shit and it's because of my good genetics. They kind of want to frame a asshole of some sort, but that you kind of like, you kind of like them still, you know, you're kind of sympathetic to them. So it's a soft ad, but in line with what Sydney Sweeney has done, it builds and it shows that yes, those are references to White Boy Summer. When he says, I'm a king of the summer. Now, it refers actually to his teleseries, which is about boys and summer and whatever. I'm not going to watch this, okay? I'm not going to watch what the youth are watching right now. But apparently he has a teleseries where it's all about the summer and all. But yes, those sound very much like White Boy Summer references and Fraz. And he doesn't say White Boy Summer, but he says, I'm the king of the summer. And it kind of happened. So kind of humble brag again. And then he makes a reference of it to his skin tone in relation to the summer. Oh, guess what? As it turns out, my skin tone is called Golden Summer. And so that closes the loop on, yes, this is a White Boy Summer reference. He is the king of White Boy Summer because he's white. This is very researched. This is very researched marketing work. You know, the people who wrote that, they had a whole understanding of White Boy Summer and how we can surf on it without quite committing to it. This is not random. And I wonder to what extent AI is participating to all this. Because what is AI? Because in the head of a leftist, it's very hard to design these ads. And to a normie marketer may have difficulty catching these trends. But an AI will have no problem. You ask the AI, how can I make something that will be edgy, shocking, but also safe. And the AI has integrated all of this knowledge about the alt-right, White Boy Summer, and the AI will find exactly these words. So I'm wondering to what extent this is the beginning of a generation of AI subversions by the mainstream, where the AI teaches the normies how to subvert internet memes in a way that is non-committal. That is my analysis of the Dunkin' Donuts ad. Now, Dunkin' Donuts has been, taking the wrong direction in the last few years because they've been marketing themselves as too low level, you know? What do you think when you think Dunkin' Donuts? I think a million different social media videos where there are blacks, where the Dunkin' Donuts is chaotic, where they're complaining. Dunkin' Donuts, and you have Dunkin' Donuts kind of begging for this low-level clientele by offering all these super sugary treats and no refinement in what they offer. And it's always like Dunkin'. You feel like it's an NBA player reference. Dunkin' Donuts, where we're going to dunk donuts in your belly. So I believe that this is a step out of the wrong direction. Dunkin' Donuts giving themselves a refinement angle and kind of saying, oh, here's a light drink for the summer, you know. It's kind of surprising because Dunkin' Donuts, you expect you're going to get a lot of calories and you're gonna see a lot of black people when you go there. Doubting Thomas sends a super chat. Thank you so much for the support. He says, after about 10 years of marriage and other experience in business, it is clear why Peterson says woman is the personification of chaos. They are experts of creating needles, complications in your life. Absolutely. It's amazing. Now, a good woman, like the girlfriend that I have, has been extremely fantastic on this aspect. She is not demanding. She's not trying to wreck the relationship at all times. You can see that she is mentally healthy, and she needless complication. Needless complication is what he meant. Yes, they make tests. They want to test you at your lowest. But it's like, holy shit, woman, don't destroy everything that I am. Yeah, my current girlfriend has been an example of what women should be on this. They should step back and not annoy you if they don't have anything to contribute for a moment. You know, I'm always working to better our lives, but sometimes, you know, if you can give me a pause for a day or two, I can accomplish great stuff. I can make good decisions on the market. I can secure our financial future. But if you're like constantly consuming my energy, like my exes have, all of them have been constantly just, I want more of your attention. You're not looking at me enough. It's very painful because we're losing our productivity. Like if you take 10 hours from me in the day, you take all of me. There's nothing left at the end. If you take those 10 hours of attention in a day, the rest for me is eat and sleep. And so be respectful of these 10 hours that a man has in a day to accomplish stuff, because it's not easy. We're faced with the free market. We have to create stuff that people want and pay for, and it's wastable. It's you can ruin it just by wanting too much from him. Blimpy Supervisor says she can at least give you a hand massage. Well, I do not need my girlfriend to give me hand massage. I have the Queen Ear. A very good hand massage. Three modes: white, blue, and pink. This is not hand massage for the weak. This is end massage for the alpha. Let me tell you, if you're 80 years old, do not buy this. it's gonna literally break your hand. But for someone like me, it's just the right force. See, at low intensity, I'm happy. This is rare. On everything I do in my life, I always go high intensity. But the quinine at low intensity is like, I don't want any more pressure. Holy shit, these bubbles are being pushed into your hand. Quinine. Q-U-I-N-E-A-R. By the way, this is not a paid advertisement. If it was a paid advertisement, I would say something about my superior genetics, but it's really just a device that I've discovered yesterday. Very good for the hand. If you're like me and you've been working your hands too hard in life. Sense of Progress says, the male has to own and plan his day. If he doesn't, someone else will plan it for him. Well, yeah, but also there are some women who just demand supervision on the everyday, all day. There are some women who they can't help themselves. They will cause drama until they get some degree of control and attention applied onto them. End of the line, Joel. Real Housewives of Alberta, did the end massage device play a part in Mama JF's disappearance? Well, I can show the receipt. It has been purchased after. Based Saxon says, I would love to see JF hawking consumer product infomercial style. Yeah, I think I would be good for that. I don't see it. In the era of genetic marketing, where, okay, we're now acknowledging in Dunkin' Donuts that of white superiority, why wouldn't I be the infomercial guy? Throw all of these old infomercial guy, fire them all, just hire JF, I could do that. Right Angle News Network reports about the woman that has been beaten by blacks and the man also. It's so hostile, the environment for whites in these cities, because here you have the city council of Cincinnati. We have the president pro tem, whatever that means. So a member of the city council, basically, and a high member, saying on Facebook, they begged for that beatdown. I am grateful for the whole story. Literally, you have city council people rooting for violence against you. And how do you expect your rights to be protected? How do you expect for the law to be followed when the people who are directing the police are rooting for you to be beaten down? By the way, there is no evidence that there was provocation of any kind. We've now had video from back. From more toward the beginning of this conflict. And from the beginning, it is a white man being harassed by all sides, by black people assaulting him. That's how it starts. Now, I don't know what was before that, but to think that it's necessarily the white man's fault in a world where again and again you have these events happening, I think it's not the safe bet. Nicolas Fuentes and Candace Owens are in a catfight on Twitter. Why is Candace Owens trying to rehabilitate Harvey Weinstein? She flamed out of Daily Wire for taking a stand against Israel, but now she uses her platform to defend a Democrat pervert with ties to Israeli intelligence. So weird. Yes, it is kind of weird how... Because... I have no doubt that Harvey Weinstein was caught up in some Me Too thing in which not everything is being represented correctly. I have no doubt that these women who were interacting with him sexually, they were there to use their sex to elevate themselves in the era of Hollywood movies. They wanted to be featured in Hollywood movies and they were there to use their sex to do it. I also have no doubt that Harvey Weinstein is a pervert and was using his position of power for the purpose of sexual extortions of all kind, for which I don't think rape is the right word. It's simply this, you know? I think that if a man uses his power to engage in women that are willingly coming to have sex with him so that they elevate themselves, it's not because power has been used that it's a rape. Because in the power, there is a transaction. The transaction is that you were trading your sex for something that you really, really wanted. You wanted to be a Hollywood star. And so as long as there's a transaction, it's not a crime. You cannot want something and do it, and then it's a crime that's been committed against you. If there was misrepresentation, maybe it would be fraud. If there were lies, maybe it would be fraud. But it's not a rape to be using one's power in a transactional opportunity. So anyways, Candace Owens is now responding in chains to Nick Fuentes. I don't know. Didn't you say I was likely funded by Russia through the Tate brothers? Can't lie. It was definitely Putin that made me tell you that marriage was aspirational. Vladimir hits me up on WhatsApp and asks me to do the most random things. Lol. And that's not a very honorable response by Candace, because, oh, you're making all these passive-aggressive jokes. It's not what's happening, but you're not really answering the question. What is the motivation for this absolutely weird obsession around Harvey Weinstein and President Macron? It's like, why? Why these angles? Something must have, something must be motivating you. And I don't like in the media business how these things are kept secret. We should be able to know the ingredients of what we're consuming. And we should be able to know, hey, my media personality, my favorite media personality is funded by this or that. But the way you jumped into these stories with absolute fascination and continued coverage makes me believe that those are orders. That you have a deal with someone who sent you money and who said, I really like Harvey Weinstein. Can you do a series of show about him? We'd like to know who that is. We would like to know why you got onto that vein. And if the answer is you got funded by absolutely no one, and you just really are a fan of Harvey Weinstein, or you're interested in that story for a specific angle of it, go ahead and say it. But as long as you're out there saying, oh yeah, it's Putin, ha ha ha, I kind of suspect that these jokes are meant to hide something. Nicolas Fuentes says, so your answer is, I don't know. I'm not the only one wondering why you would use your platform to rehabilitate a Mossad-connected Democrat pervert. Candace Owens says, but just last week, I was tagged in a clip of you claiming it was Russia that was backing me. Do you think it's the Mossad now? The Israelis say it's Qatar that's funding me at this point. I really don't know. Well, why aren't you transparent about your funding sources? That's what I would say to Candace. Because we know how the business works, you know. You end up having a bunch of fans. Some of them are billionaires and millionaires. And they send you a little more money than the others. Now, I've always had very good support from people who are rich at points. And they sent me $10,000, $25,000. But it was always without condition on my coverage. It was always without, oh, Jeff, could you change this about your opinion? We'd like to know if that's the same for you. We'd like to know, have you conditionally accepted sums of money that are significant for the purpose of directing your show in these directions? Nicolas Fuentes says, everyone is wondering why you crashed out on your bus Ben Shapiro just so you could rehabilitate a degenerate Zionist like Harvey Weinstein, especially after your little Frankist stunt last year. It's all just a bit suspicious. Hopefully, you can reassure us. Thank you. I think Nick Frontes is being level-headed here. And I think it makes sense as a request. She says, I think the best way to handle this is for you to post a clip screaming, I'm a real man again, and refer to me as a bitch a few more times to really prove it. Because if a man isn't calling a woman a stupid bitch, is he even a real man? I think not. Bizarre, veering out of the conversation. Just bizarre. Nicholas Frontes says, why don't you put the fun down and go make me a sandwich? And then once you've calmed down and collected yourself, explain why you are trying to help Harvey Weinstein and convince us that it's the Frankist and not the Jews. Candace Owen says, I'm literally shaking right now. How will I ever survive being told to go make you a sandwich? You really are setting an example for real men everywhere. I'm trying my best to calm down and collect myself, but I'm a woman, so give me some time. Nicholas Frontes says, take all the time you need. Turkey, provolone, lettuce, and tomato, please. Easy on the mayo. Thanks, hon. I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. Everyone can see that you are totally not a raging bitch. The thing is, I'm not just not myself when I'm hungry. That's why I need a sandwich. Wow. Is that the joke from the Snickers commercial? So good. Keep going, Nick. Total annihilation cope ratio, bro. No way I can survive this. Nicholas Frontes says, true. You seem totally unbothered right now. Look, I'm not trying to annihilate you. I just want to know why you keep pushing Harvey Weinstein and the Frankist on us, but you are being weirdly defensive. She says, just reminding you to also mention how much the whole wild world owes you because of what happened to you when you were 18. That's the last thing you need to do. And then I will for sure never recover. This is a very bad interaction from Candace Owens' side. The question is very clear from the side of Nick Frontes. I would ask the same questions. Candace Owens keeps bringing back the fact that Nicholas Frontes is owed something for the cancellation that he's been the victim of. I don't think that's really what Nick Frontes is saying. I don't think when he brings the story of his cancellation that he's saying he's owed something. I think he's making a message that, one, this cancellation system is bad. Cancel culture is bad. Two, the people who are targeted by this cancel culture should be somewhat solidary to an extent. They should give themselves respect and build a parallel society where we encourage people to not believe the cancel crew. And three, that ultimately it's important that we know, are you, Candace, an opponent of cancel culture? Or are you just a different player in the cancel culture game? That is a very important question. That is why you say we tell you that you owe something to Nick. It's not that you owe. It's that we want to know. We want to know where you stand on cancel culture. And there's various ways in which you can subscribe to cancel culture. You can be full in to the bashing onto the person. You can be more of those people who cancel you by ignoring you, by not contacting you, not talking to you, not ignoring all of your points. Even if you add them on X, they don't respond. That's another form of cancel culture that's a little more subversive. Because you never quite get a positive confirmation of the person's engagement in cancel culture, but effectively she is. And then there's a third category of cancel culture. It's those people who will interact with the person that's canceled, But they will constantly bring back these fucking woman concern around the person in a way that it's impossible to even get to a fundamental conversation. Let's say here, Nicolas Fuentes is asking you a very simple question. You're veering around and talking about how he's an asshole and, oh, he called you a bitch and, oh, he claims that you owe him something. You don't owe him something. Those are all side issues. And they're also a way to cancel people, unfortunately. And this is the most subversive way to cancel because it leaves no trace that you even participate to cancel culture. But you're always going to find a reason why not to engage with the person. Oh, he's been an asshole to Dave Smith. So what does he think? Oh, he's a psychopath. Oh. So, but ultimately you are siding with cancel culture. You're just finding a new reason, finding an excuse that allows you to join the mob. This is very important. That's why people are after you, Candace. You've been part of the third category a lot. And you've been doing it very obviously. So as long as you do it, yes, you'll have the impression that people expect something from you that you're not giving. But it's not they don't expect you to agree necessarily with Nick. They expect you to stop the subversive way in which you continue the cancellation of Nick through indirect means. Candace Owen tries really hard to get Harvey Weinstein to say that the Jews take him down, but Harvey Weinstein says, no, it's Qatar.
But have you...
And this is a phenomenon where... Look how clueless this man looks. The Jew that has power, really, they have power for a moment. The system gives them power. And once they lose that power, they are helpless. And they are even helpless in understanding why they lost that power. Because Harvey Weinstein was a guy who could literally make you a Hollywood star. If you're a young female, you go have sex with Harvey Weinstein, you're going to be in Weinstein production. It's going to be 4 or 5 big movies, big ticket movies a year. And it's your entry into Hollywood. Now look at him in jail and look at how clueless he is as Candace tries to get something out of him.
Have you considered that it could be deeper, that there was somebody who wanted you put away, that there may have been someone who wanted your company? Because to me, there is just overwhelming evidence that you were set up here. It looks to me like a modern day hit. I don't know who you upset. I don't know what they were after, but it just looks to me like a rigged system and they took you out. To me, it looks like it was just a show trial and the outcome was already determined before you even stepped into that courtroom. I do think that you stepped on somebody's toes. Like that, there's somebody's toes that you stepped on that you may not have been aware of when you were in Hollywood because you had a lot of power. You had a lot of power.
You know, I can't say who.
Why not? Why can't you say who? What do you have to lose?
Because I'm not sure that I'm right. You know,
you say...
Obviously, you are in power. You have been placed in a position of power because you are a Jew. And you have been removed from this position of power by Jews.
I think maybe I really want to push you on this point, Harvey, because I think it's very significant. I mean, you had the greatest movies that were in Hollywood. You had a lot of power. And I'm wondering if there was anybody in Hollywood that you may have been fighting with at that time, that just anything that could have been going on. Because I think there's something bigger happening here.
There wasn't a fight per se, but the establishment, I would not say, was my friend.
Right. And what is the establishment in Hollywood?
It's normally the big studios, but I can't say that they were part of this.
Right. No, I'm just wondering, like, who in the end, who owns all those movies now? Who owns your catalog? What happened to your company?
We sold the catalog to a company called Be-In, you know what I mean, which is owned by the Qatari government. And
all that you have to give us is the Qatari government? I mean... Obviously, it's not a planned attack onto the Jews of America that Qatar has organized. obviously, the Jews that are still in power politically and mediatically were the ones who were comfortable putting these creeps ahead. Jeff Epstein, Harvey Weinstein. And when they got too loose, or when for some reason they were not useful to the organs of power, they changed their mind and they cracked down on them. Puff Daddy is also, you know, PDD is in a way included in this. Because he was a black in the music industry that was kind of given some loose in a world where it's mostly Jews. It's mostly Jews that do what PDD was doing, you know, to be encircling various creators and allowing them to be under a single house of production for music. Normally, it's Jews that do this. And in the PDD case, they got a black to kind of front their operation. And when they got tired of him, prosecution. My jeans are yellow. Tiffany Fung comes out with her own ad. Sydney Sweeney style. Now the jeans are yellow has been appropriated by the Asian race. Okay. That's fine. But see, this is the point. This is where the ad is good. And the ad is still... it's still saying something about white jeans. It's that you won't ever have a credible version of that ad with a black woman. It just doesn't sound right. And as she would say, my jeans are black, or something like this, you wouldn't have the impression that this is a very good thing. You would have the impression that it's a bad thing. And this is what this woman doesn't understand.
Hey, American Eagle. Now do black and brown women. Because black and brown women also have great genes that they inherit from their parents. Did you know that? They also have butts that look really good in jeans as well. But they don't have to fit their butts into American Eagle jeans. And I realize that the point of the ads, if we're all understanding them correctly, is that you're trying to point in the direction away from black and brown women, right?
Yes, we're kind of tired. We're kind of tired seeing people of lesser talent being given the job, being given the spot, being given everything for absolutely no other reason than the color of their skin and messing it up, really. Messing it up to the point where we don't have good movies anymore, because in every fucking movie that comes out, there has to be this series of diverse actors and main positions which make the movie totally incoherent. It's ridiculous. Like, always a black savior, always a white sacrifice. New movies are unwatchable because of this. And it's not just about how this destroyed our culture and our movies. The same thing is happening in our institutions, but in a less visible way. Consider how movies have reduced in quality in the last 20 years. And just tell yourself that the same thing has been done to science, to law, to everything, to dentistry, to medicine. Imagine, you won't know. But the dentists of the next 50 years are as bad as the black actors of the last 10 years. That's how bad it will be. So we have ruined the entirety of society. And you have white people that are jobless, that could occupy these jobs better. And we have ruined all of this for your desired equalization, which will never come.
Right. See, here's the thing. There's women like me out there. The white women.
You absolutely do not matter.
Who give a fuck. And the white women who had their mother spend a substantial amount of money at your place of establishment whenever I was a cunt of a teenager back in the day. Okay? And now I'm a mom.
Yeah, well, go dress your daughter teenager in some ugly Adidas jogging. I don't give a shit. American Eagle is going to survive out of the more conscientious moms.
Now, I will not be spending a fucking dime if she...
Yeah, well, you don't have a dime. It's very clear. You wouldn't be wearing that brown hat if you did. We now have an evaluation on the injuries of the lady that was knocked out by a black mob. Look at this. Completely face wrecked, big black eye. completely wrecked on the lips and bruised all over the face. That is the current state of the lady, and hopefully there will be prosecution because everyone was very clearly photographed on this video. So I hope that the police will not be influenced by the city council and that they will pursue these criminals. Even in the midst of a battle where your survival hangs by a thread, a retarded bitch would insert herself and jeopardize the lives of everyone. Oh yeah, we have this migrant attack. I don't know if it's cell phones that are so common or migrant attacks that are so common. But for some reason, here we have a guy filming with his girlfriend. And there's just a random migrant attack in the back. That's how common it is. The guy didn't get his phone to film a migrant attack. There's just a background migrant attack by knife of a policeman as he's trying to film his girlfriend. See, the guy comes in and he's going to try stabbing the police in the arm. Stab, stab, stab. Boom. Three stabs. What the fuck? What is this guy trying to accomplish? What is the goal here? What does success look like here? I want to understand from his perspective. Does he want one kill? Because you're not going to kill him with three stabs in the arm.
Trae un cuchillo. Hazte para atrás. Vete, 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 vete.
Now, this is very clearly a stabbing, and this guy must be arrested, but there's a woman who disagrees. So here you have a good Samaritan who comes to help to neutralize the knife-wielding man. Look at this. A woman comes. No, don't beat the knife-wielder. Does she realize that just what she's doing there could lead to a death? Because this guy could, although he's not been very efficient at knifing the police, in this position, he could very well step back up and stab them in a deadly way. Now, the protesting female is being stopped by the Good Samaritan. Let the police do their job.
Kick that!
And there we go. I guess that's how it happens in a country without guns. Even the police doesn't have guns, so they need these batons. It's the only thing they have. I didn't know this. I, Hypocrite, was not an American. I, Hypocrite, has just been naturalized as an American citizen. Take a wild guess which free white man of goodish character became a naturalized citizen of the U.S. of A today, had to celebrate with a bacon cheeseburger. So bacon cheeseburger for this new American. Wow, I didn't know that at all. I had heard that he was a Canadian, but then I didn't know that he was becoming an American. Very nice, very happy for him. America is becoming increasingly isolated as the United Kingdom and France formally recognize Palestine, Israel is the villain, and we are their accomplice, and we will pay for that. Yes, that is, it's a very isolated direction that Trump is taking with Israel, full support of Israel, at a time where it's now pretty much acknowledged by everyone that what's going on is a genocide. It's very clear they have destroyed Gaza. They have used October 7th as an excuse. They have then destroyed the whole civilian portions of Gaza with the goal of taking the land. And the annexation ultimatum is now coming. So it's a very stepwise overtake of a nation with the destruction of its ethnicity. So Israel gives Hamas annexation ultimatum despite increased criticism from the West. So they're like, oh yeah, give us the hostages and leave, or we're going to take over the land. Let me predict how it's going to go. They're going to take over the land. They're going to be unsatisfied. They're going to take over the land. You know, this was written in the sky since the very beginning. So we destroy, we make it unlivable, we starve the local population so they disappear slowly, they get diseases, and then we take the land. And it's that's a genocide. There's literally not, you can't be more of a genocide than this. It's all of the ingredients, it's all of the goals, and it's all of the realization of each point of a genocide. Now, I would just like honesty on this thing. Because in the end, everything is a genocide, you know. Every location on Earth where you habitat has been taken from someone else. So we are all genociders of various degrees through our past and through our ancestors. But I think it's very important that we don't have a cognitive dissonance about this. We should say, there's a genocide, it's been happening, and it's because there are people who feel that they need to genocide other people to exist. And in the end, it's true, and there are circumstances where you have to do it. We wouldn't have the lands that we have in America if we didn't push the Indians back. So in a way, it's always what has to happen. But what I don't like is the cognitive dissonance and the self-lying around it. Because if the Jews can get away with the genocide without it being declared in history and by our institutions, the thing is, down the line, we're not going to be justified when we say, hey, you know, this is our enclave. This is where whites live, and we live here, and please don't come here, because or else there's going to be a genocide one way or the other. You're either going to have to kill us, or we're going to kill you, or you're going to outbreed us and we're going to outbreed you. Something will go bad. But we won't be able to say this with the moral high ground if it's always the bad whites that are always doing the genocide, you see? I think it's a very important step in history to say, hey, here's a bunch of brown people that have been committing a genocide against other brown people. The Jews against the Muslims. And let us record this as a fact of history. Marby Dog says, Indians own casinos now, they cleaned up. I guess you could say this. The CEO of the Nordstrom department store chain has signaled to Portland's mayor that it may shut down its operations in the city. If it does, it would join REI, who shut down its downtown Pearl District location due to robberies and theft. Target, which closed 3 Portland locations in 2023, and Macy's. Many radical leftists in the city support criminality, arguing that it is compassionate and righteous to let people do what they want to without arrest or prosecutions. I am so happy to see the slow dismantlement of leftist societies. They are unsustainable. You can't, you can't have a system in which people can steal. that doesn't work. 9mm SMG is apologizing for his statements to Zoomers. I'd like to apologize to Zoomers. I've been harsh about you living at home until you're in your late 20s. I'm a millennial and moved on my own when I was 17. It wasn't easy, but I managed. I'm out of touch, especially with money. I don't really know what it costs to just survive on your own in 2025. I didn't realize how expensive it got and how low wages were in comparison. I'm, as I said, out of touch. Sorry for judging. And sorry you guys inherited such a bad situation. I hadn't realized just how hard it is. Or how it was now. I finally looked into it heavily. I hope you take back your jobs. I hope you succeed. We need leadership that solely prioritizes Americans in the workforce. That's an important subject. Bubs is threatening to... Here, I'm going to ban him just preemptively. Forever. He was saying, I'm going to use these slurs. And if the mods keep me in, I will thumbs up the video. If the mods keep me, if the mods kick me, I will thumbs down the video. Well, fuck you, Bops. I don't have a strong position on slurs, but clearly, you're not using them in an intelligent way, and this is an intelligent channel. And fuck you, you'll never be welcomed here. And it's not even because of the slurs. I've used the N-word on this show in certain circumstances where it was required. But to use these slurs for no reason at all, but to cause trouble, shows that you are ultimately an antipathic, antisocial type of personality that's coming here only to drain attention and to say nothing of substance. So fuck off. Fuck off. And what was the first slur? Fuck off, you little faggot. Fuck you. Bye. That was the first slur he used. I return it to him. Fuck you. Yeah, it's very important that we talk about the situation on the rent market and the jobs. because it is something that my generation, I left my home from my mom when I was 17, 18. I got an apartment at $300 a month. $300 a month. It was a single room apartment. That was possible and feasible in my time. And I would encourage people who can afford it to do it. But the new system of rent is designed to drain you out. Drain you out of your wealth in ways that are unsustainable. And so I would recommend for 2025 and going forward, do not throw your kids on the streets too early. Give them an opportunity to build their wealth, to buy Bitcoin while they live with you. And give them an opportunity to build themselves up in a way that perhaps they can jump above the rent market and buy a small house of small value from the start. That may be the best thing you can do in the current market. Now, yes, the past was different. The past was different because there were these opportunities for very, very small apartments at very, very low cost. This is gone. The bottom of the rent market is like unviable for minimal salary. That was not the case in my time. In my time, $300 was easy to make. I was just a worker at night at the Maxi in a grocery store, just placing stuff. I was making much more than $300 a month. I was making maybe $2,000 a month while also being a student. So in the current circumstance, my little apartment might cost $800 or $900. And that is unviable. That is why I would recommend to parents, keep your children around if they need to in your house. Allow them to save. Make sure that this time is a time of productivity. So you have to be attentive to, am I enabling laziness in my child, in my adult children? Or am I enabling savings and the learning of proper finances? If the first is true, then you do have to put pressure for them to get out. If the second is true, then it's all good. It's okay to stay and it might be harder for a male because the male, everything relies on the male to make more money. And understand that the waves of the market are such that, yeah, your male child may need 5 more years home. But he's going to have more responsibilities on his shoulders down the line. And that may be needed for him to build wealth so that he doesn't get exploited out there. Because throwing him out there to get exploited by the lesser denominator of an anti-white system of employment, in which it's actually just hard to get hired at McDonald's. And on top of it, the renter system, which is absolutely brutal these days, is not the good idea, necessarily. The Jack Acid says, I paid rent to my mother until I saved enough to buy a house at 27. Yeah. So if you think that you are farming too much laziness, you can charge a little rent to your adult child. That is also fine. It's not warranted in all cases, but if the fact that free life is basically making them go too lazy, yes, it's a solution. Australia widens the teen social media ban to YouTube, scrapping an exemption. Australia said on Wednesday it will add YouTube to sites covered by its world first ban on social media for teenagers, reversing an earlier decision to exempt the Alphabet-owned video sharing site and potentially setting up a legal challenge. This is, I don't think that teenage use of social media is healthy in general. I think maybe most of the use, maybe 90% of teenage use of social media is harmful. But there is a principle in liberty, and there is a principle in also it's people's responsibility to monitor that kind of thing, because there is also a 10% of legitimate use of social media by young people for learning and for business building and for building a sense of them as an adult, that we're scraping all of this, because there has been teenage stars that have risen on streaming and YouTube and that have made a living out of it. So you are depriving yourself of all these opportunities. Now, is it worth the balance of harm? The problem is, in a free society, you don't ask yourself this question. You let people make decisions for themselves and for their families. You don't block a whole site by government mandate, because that cuts the legitimate uses of that site. I would say this law is bad, and it's going to veer into some form of censorship also. A last news item before we close the show. MSTR will no longer use the ATM below 2.5x MNAV to buy additional Bitcoin. Below 2.5x MNAV, the strategy will not issue common equity below this threshold, except to 1. Pay interest on debt obligations, and 2. Fund preferred equity dividends. from 2.5x to 4.0x, the strategy will opportunistically issue common equity to acquire Bitcoin. So this is very complicated. I'm not sure I understand all of it, but MNAV is something like future expected value, and the problem of MicroStrategy, now Strategy, has been that they've been buying Bitcoin, and but people have been buying the Strategy stock even more, such that if you consider the investment that you make in the company Strategy, if you consider it as buying only the Bitcoins that they have, because at this point they don't do anything else than buying Bitcoin, you're actually overpaying for your Bitcoin by 3x. It's like they have this value, and the number of Bitcoins that they have to actually back this value is 3x less. And this has led to questions, you know, to what extent is this a Ponzi scheme? When will that crash, you know? And on the other hand, people are like, well, you know, we know that Bitcoin will be worth more than 3x in 5 years down the line. So we know that we're making a rational decision. We're saying somehow Michael Saylor will find ways to play the Bitcoin game better than most people. So that's the argument on both sides. Now, the idea of MNAV 2.5, basically what Strategy is now saying is, when our share values are such that we are overvalued with respect to our Bitcoin treasury, we're going to stop printing shares. We're going to stop buying Bitcoin. And I don't even know if what I said is true or if it's the contrary. But what I understand from this message is they will be more conservative. They will have a rule at which, okay, we are not buying more Bitcoin with more shares in that situation. So that's what they're saying. And it's to calm down the markets, because of course you have to be scared if you bought Strategy instead of Bitcoin, because you're relying on a treasury that is 3 times smaller than what you would have had for the same amount of money if you had actually bought Bitcoin. So that's a form of leverage, and it's dangerous. You are playing at the peak and you may fall, but you may also rise. So people have been asking me, people who have a lot of Bitcoin and who trust me for counsel, they've been asking me a year ago, do I get into Strategy or not? And my answer has always been, personally, no. Personally, I'll buy Bitcoin. It's better. But there is an argument to be made that Strategy may outcompete Bitcoin because of leverage, because of financial arrangements, because of shorts and short squeezes. All sorts of things can happen. But personally, I feel it's too much of a risky game to be playing that game. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for being with me. And if you'd like to support the show on a regular basis, go to our Patreon or our Subscribestar page and join the Patreon or the Subscribestar on a monthly basis. The show needs your support to keep going. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow. And Gasparovsky had said a $10 super chat. Thank you so much for the donation. And he said loud, there is no second best analyst on the internet.